We live, we love, we serve.
Call to live the life you were created to live. That is probably more critical now in these days than ever before, because there's so many people living these counterfeit lives, plastic lives, not real. But when you start to live the life you know God has shaped for you, it is empowering. And then commanded to love beyond the limits of our prejudices. There's so much polarization in our country and so much division. And a lot of it is based on our personal prejudice and bias. But that second clause says to love beyond. That means wherever your prejudice or your bias tries to draw a line, the Spirit compels you to cross that line beyond your prejudices. And finally, we're commissioned to serve. That means we understand that God did not give you all that God has given you simply to soak it up for yourself, that you've been gifted and called for this season to be a witness and to share in the abundance of what God has done by serving others. The greatest thing you could ever do as a human being is to serve another human being. So we are called to live, commanded to love, and commissioned to serve. And FCBC, how do we say it, family? We live, we love, we live, we love, we serve. I want to read the Gospel of Luke, the 6th chapter. I was looking for Ian today, Ian, who usually comes, and he always makes a comment when he sees me in notes. I don't normally preach with notes. He's like, it's serious. He'll text me on Sunday when he's watching, Pastor Mike, you had notes today. I know it was serious. I said, well, it's either serious or there's stuff I don't want to forget. And so either way, it may be both today. Amen. So Luke 6, verses 46 through 49 in the New Revised Standard Version. And it reads like this, Luke 6, 46 through 49, a very, sometimes an obscure text, but I think a very profound and powerful one. This is Jesus speaking. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you? I will show you what someone is like who comes to me, hears my words, and acts on them. That one is like a man building a house, who dug deeply and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood arose, the river burst again against that house, but could not shake it. Could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not act is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the river burst against it, immediately it fell, and great was the ruin of that house. Come on, let's pray. God, thank you today. Thank you, God, for this day. Thank you, God, for the sufficiency of your grace and the magnitude of your mercy and the covering of your love. God, we are here because love still lifts. Love still heals. Love still restores. And we are grateful for that. Now, oh God, let your word do its own work. And we'll be sure to get out of the way and let you be God all by yourself. We thank you, God. We honor you, God. And it's in your name we pray. And we say, amen. Amen. Remain standing. Let me read that again. Luke 6, verses 46 through 49. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you? I will show you what someone is like who comes to me, hears my words, and acts on them. That one is like a man building a house who dug deeply and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood arose, the river burst against that house, but could not shake it because it had been built well, or when well built. But the one who hears and does not act is like a man who built a house in the ground without a foundation. When the river burst against it, immediately it fell, and great was the ruin of that house. Just do me a favor, turn to neighbor and simply tell neighbor, dig deep. Come on, tell somebody else, neighbor, dig deep. Come on, put your hands together and give the Lord a hand clap of praise as you take your seat. Dig deep. This is a moment where so many people, especially in common culture, love to claim the title of Christian. There's a lot of folk who claim to be Christian, a lot of folk who think that being a Christian is about showing up to church on a Saturday or a Sunday, and that is all it takes, just being in the building, showing up to the place. I said maybe a few months ago in New York that I had a deacon in North Carolina when I pastored in Durham for 8 years. And man, he had all the country sayings, you know, and things I never heard. I wasn't from the South. I had no roots in the South. My family is from the Caribbean. And so he would say all these things, these country sayings, and I would hear him. And he would say stuff like, you know, empty wagons make a lot of noise. But when I understood it, he was right. The people who often the loudest don't really have anything to say. And then he would say stuff like, you know, every now and again is you can go to an old well and get new water. This stuff, I was like, what are you talking about, Deke? But when you started unpacking it, it was really, really, really strong. It was powerful. And then he had one that I really didn't understand until I understood it. And he said one day, he said, Rev, just because you're in the oven don't mean you're a biscuit. Now, I'm going to tell you, at first glance, I had no clue what he was talking about. But then I thought about it, and I tried to get deep on it. Like, just because you're in the oven where the heat is turned up, where all the conditions are, I mean, doesn't mean that you have the quality to become a biscuit, because you can put heat on a lot of things, they won't turn into a biscuit. In other words, you got to be the thing in order to get the effects of the thing. Same thing, a whole lot of folk who are in church, and just because you're in church don't mean you're a Christian. It doesn't mean that you follow the teachings. And then let me change that. It is very possible to be a Christian. I've said this for the past 30 years of pastoring, that it's possible to be a Christian and claim all the things that come of Christianity, but not be a disciple of Jesus. Because at the end of the day, I have to remind people, Jesus did not charge us to go build big buildings or make Christians. He said, go make disciples. And being a disciple of Jesus is about living your life according to the teachings of Jesus and honoring those teachings. In other words, it is understanding that it's easy to read scripture. It is easy to be in church on Sunday and hear a sermon. But the real test is, can you attune your life to the teachings of Jesus? Can you shift and shape your life according to those teachings? Because it means nothing if you can go through this exercise, this religious exercise week in and week out, and not experience growth or transformation. Because at the end of the day, your journey with Jesus should be one that when you look back over the journey, you should see the growing points and the growth moments of your journey, because you have dared to deepen your walk with Jesus. And here in this story, this scene of Jesus, he makes that clear. He said, because you say, Lord, Lord, you call me Lord, but you do not do what I say. You do not follow my lead. You do not honor my teachings. And he says that it's one thing to hear. It's another thing to act. It's one thing to show up to hear it, but it's another thing to allow the teachings and the word to pierce your spirit and penetrate your soul, so that it begins to ignite something new and fresh in your life and such a way that you begin to bend in the direction of who God is calling you to be. There is nothing you begin that you get it all the first time you try it. But that's why being a believer, being a disciple, is about consistent and continuous engagement with the teachings in such a way, again, that it lends itself to growth and transformation. And here, when Jesus has just finished teaching about trees that bear the right fruit and about don't worry about the speck in your neighbor's eye when you have a beam in your eye, it is as if Jesus backs up in the midst of the teaching and said, wait a minute, there's a whole lot of y'all who's showing up here calling me Lord, Lord, but you do not heed what I say. You do not listen to what I say, and you're definitely not bending your life in the direction of what I am teaching to you. And that really is the litmus test. It is not whether or not you can come to church or whether or not you can quote scripture. I've been saying that for a long time, because I've been doing this long enough to know that there are people aside who quote scripture, who know scripture, who can recount it like this, but their lives have not been shaped by the teachings of Jesus. Memory and transformation are two different things. And the capacity to memorize and remember things and quote things means nothing. In fact, you can know scripture like the back of your hand, but who you are as a believer is not about your capacity to recite it. It is about your ability to lean into it when time requires you and circumstances require you to understand it. And so Jesus here in this scene says, no, there's a whole lot of y'all who call me Lord, but you don't honor what I teach. And he said, hey, let me give you two examples. This is what happens when you show up, when you hear, and then you act on what I say. When you show up, you hear, and then you act. I mean, there it is. You show up, you hear, and then you act. You don't get credit for just one thing, but they all go together. You show up in the space where the teaching is. You hear it, what the teaching says, but then you move when you begin to embody what you hear. Because at the end of the day, everything about our faith, let me use this word, is incarnational. In other words, you embody it, and that's when it comes alive. You become it, and that's when it becomes real. Not by recitation, but by embodying the qualities that you claim to have as a believer of Jesus. And so he gives this image of someone who built a house and dug a strong foundation versus someone who didn't have a strong foundation. And here's the litmus test, because on the surface, you can't tell which house has a strong foundation. Just by appearance, you can't tell. But the litmus test is when storms come, and when the rains come, and when the floods arise, then you can really tell who has a house built on a strong foundation. This is what he's saying. And this is important. Now, sometimes some of the things that Jesus say don't always hit us the same way because we don't have the same historical context. But this is why this came alive for people who were listening back then. Because in first century Palestine, during the dry season, all of the ground looked strong and solid. It's a dry season. So it looks like it was strong enough that you can build on. The problem is that the dry season don't last for so long, but then the rainy season comes, the flooding season, and what looked like it was solid and able to hold anything, you begin to quickly see that all it takes is a little rain and a little flooding and a little storm to reveal that what looked strong wasn't so strong because it couldn't handle the rains that came. And this is why Jesus says, you don't just build on what looks strong, you lay a deep foundation. You dig deep enough to lay a foundation so that no matter what comes, your house that you built on that strong foundation can stand. But on the surface, you got to be careful, because a whole lot of folk who look solid on the surface, who look strong on the surface. This is why I love this part. Why? Because we live in a cultural moment right now where everybody is obsessed with shallow living and obsessed with the surface. We polish our image, we market our personality, we curate our identity, and we perform strength without really being strong. We have become architects of appearance, seduced by image while neglecting the deeper things of who we are. When you look all around, you see all the shallowness and all the surface, but we really don't access or get to see who people really are, especially when we're fixated on only posting our beautiful moments, or as someone said, the highlight reels. But Jesus speaks a word that cuts through performance, cuts through what is superficial, cuts through the surface, and asks a serious question. What are you standing on? What are you building your life on? What are you building your reality on? And so Jesus says, here's what the wise person does. Here is what the spiritually strong person does. That person makes sure that they dig deep enough to lay a strong foundation. In other words, the foundation you lay is like the roots that run deep. What is the foundation you are laying and building and digging spiritually so that you can handle anything that comes your way? Jesus says this, that the one who built on this foundation and built this kind of foundation dug deep. That's where it starts. You dig deep. Why? Here's what I can tell you. Strong people and strong lives are not accidental. I'm going to say that again so you hear it. Strong people and strong lives are not accidental. Digging deep requires labor, honesty, discipline, prayer, consistency, commitment. And that means that sometimes the spiritual work you need to do to prepare yourself for what may be coming is not always the kind of work that gets attention. It is not the kind of work that may get the applause.
There is digging beneath the surface of ego that has to be done. There is digging through denial and digging through old wounds and digging through habits that kept you small and digging through fear until you touch something solid enough to stand. And I know there's some folk in here that to get where you are, and it doesn't mean you've arrived at the final place, but to grow and to expand and to enhance, there's some things you had to dig through to get at the heart of who you are. And you can't shun that digging work, because why? Many people want a visible house without the invisible digging. Oh man, you got to hear that. Many people want what everybody can see, but sometimes the labor to get there cannot be seen. I hope you heard that. People are enamored with where you arrive, but they don't see those sleepless nights. They don't see the toil. They don't see the hardship. They don't know what you had to dig through to get where you are, how sometimes you had to critique yourself, build yourself, rebuild yourself, learn, unlearn, learn again, all the things you had to do to get where you are. And people don't always see the invisible digging, the labor it took you. Here's what I know. When that house goes up, I remember years ago when I lived in North Carolina. And, you know, when I got to North Carolina fresh out of college, and we struggled. It was hard. And I 22 years old, and I already had one child, and then real quick had another one on the way. It wasn't planned, but it came that way. And it took, watch this, it took 8 years, went from being brokety broke, broke. I mean, we love to sometimes romanticize, you put that college degree in, but I was in grad school and we were in grad school and working these odd jobs. And 8 years it took to see something. In 8 years, we went from having no savings and living off menial income while we were in grad school. And in 8 years, we built a house from scratch. We were able to save and save, and we were able to build. And we didn't buy, we just built it. We had a house built. And what I realized is a few things that every day, you know, if you've ever experienced that, I'm not talking about buying a house, but you start to build a house, had builders building. It is something because you're so excited. One, I was so excited. Never had a house, grew up in New York City, had apartments most of the time. And so every day, just about, what do? Drive by. You want to go see it. You got to go every day, every moment. Like, you don't want to miss nothing. You videoing it. You've taken pictures. And early on, like when the land was there before they began to dig, to lay the foundation, it looked good. But then every time we came back, we would see them digging and tearing up stuff. And I realized that when you build in a house, the beginning of it don't look pretty. In fact, you know what the plans say, you know what the outcome's going to be, but the early work of building a house is always deep digging, and it always looks a mess. Man, one time I came there, wood was here, sod was here, the cement was there, and then one time I came and they hadn't been showing up. Watch this. They didn't show up for almost 2 weeks. I remember calling the builder because I was naive. I didn't know. I called the builder. What's going on? He said, well, we laid the foundation. I said, okay, so you're going to build? He said, no, you got to let the foundation settle. He said, you dig deep, you lay the foundation, and then you got to let it settle because you don't want to build too quickly until the foundation is set. Because nothing can happen without that foundation. So going to that site every day, I saw a mess, but it let me know that something was under construction because they were digging in order to lay a foundation. I hope you're catching this now. That sometimes you got to go through that period. It looks messy. It looks messed up. It don't look good. But you got to remind yourself that I'm going somewhere with this, that God is doing something in me. And it might not look too good now, but I got to keep on digging. Why? Because we celebrate when we see the house go up above ground. But I realize that God often honors what takes place below ground, what can't be seen, what can't be celebrated. That's the heart of who you are. It is not all the accomplishments. It is the work it took to get the accomplishments that we celebrate and we honor. And so you got to do something. You got to continue to do what? Keep digging. The tragedy of our time is that many have mastered presentation but neglected foundation. Look good, but ain't solid. look the part, but have nothing deeply entrenched in who you are. No roots to say, but you just look the part. We know how to look stable. We know how to sound strong. We know how to play the part. We know how to curate our confidence. But when the pressure hits, when life leans against us a little bit, surface strength will always crack under pressure. Oh, man. Surface strength will always crack under pressure. Anybody here from North Carolina? Anybody? I know Jovian's gonna raise her hand. And here's the thing. If you, I lived in North Carolina for 11 years, and hurricanes are big. My best friend lives in Oklahoma. They see tornadoes all the time. And it's amazing because I've been in North Carolina to Mish, and I've seen hurricanes come and decimate a house. Tornadoes come and decimate a house. You know what's interesting? When you see the aftermath of a tornado or a hurricane that destroyed, you notice the house is torn to pieces, but the foundation is still right there. The foundation is still there. Tornado destroyed, gutted everything. House flying, but that foundation is still there. And so the tragedy is that people often invest in what can be destroyed, but the foundation, what stands, is the part we invest in. That is how solid we are rooted to who we claim to be as believers. There are other people, though, even though there are people who like to be showy, there are people who at the end of the day who quietly do the work. These are quiet folk and quiet souls, steady souls, tested souls who've been digging for years with no attention. They don't have no big followers. They don't post a lot. They just do the work. They prayed when nobody knew it. They healed when nobody celebrated it. They stayed faithful when nobody rewarded it. They built slowly and deeply and honestly, because you cannot build a lasting deep life with shallow habits. I'm gonna say it again. You cannot build a deep and lasting life with shallow habits. And God, what I've discovered in my journey, often builds us underground before God blesses us above ground. Man. And sometimes that below ground work, that underground work, is not the visible work. It's what happens when the lights are off and the cameras are gone and the pictures are no longer. You just there trying to wrestle with why you're here and what made you who you are. So this is why that first house, it said, Jesus said that when you build and you use as a foundation my teachings and my word and what I give you, when you do that, when the storm comes, look at that scripture again. When the storm comes, not if. He said, when it comes, and we've been alive long enough to know that there ain't no if about trouble. It comes and it shows up. And oftentimes a storm shows up in the place where you don't, or at the time when you don't want it to show up. But Jesus does not say if trouble comes. He says, but when, because storms will come for every house. All of us will encounter storms because storms keep appointments in our lives. I'm going to say that again. Storms keep their appointments in our lives. They show up when they're going to show up, and they don't break the appointment. They will be there whether you are prepared or not. I got another. Boy, I like these stories. They're coming to my mind now. I remember in North Carolina one year, and I'm from New York, so this is the wildest thing. And it's about being prepared. And I remember they said a forecast. This is Durham, North Carolina. Ain't no plows in Durham, North Carolina. Ain't got all that stuff. And the forecast said, you know, snow flurries, not even any accumulation. Here it was. So I'm sitting at the house. I'm looking up at the sky. Now, again, I'm from where we've had blizzards. I said, this sky don't look like no flurries. This is like a storm is coming. And so I went to the supermarket. It was a Kroger, right? I remember that. And I went to Kroger, nobody in there to me, Charlie. And I start stocking up. I'm to my whole supermarket. My cart is full. I got water. I got canned goods. I mean, loaded. And the lady at the checkout says to me, she said, you going somewhere? I said, no, I'm getting ready for something. And she was like, well, I said, a storm comes. She said, we don't get storms down here. Well, I got home about 30 minutes or so after I got home, it started snowing. That was 3 o'clock. On that particular day, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, it was a Thursday, I'll never forget. It did not stop snowing until Saturday morning. 24 inches of snow dropped at one time, and nobody was prepared for that snowstorm. Schools were closed for 2.5 weeks. Blocks were just isolated because nobody prepared, because they weren't used to seeing storms like that. But when you understand, no matter who you are and what you do, storms will come. The question is, how do you prepare for what you don't see coming? How do you fortify yourself for the storms that will come your way? Because no matter who you are not exempt. No matter how holy you may think you are not exempt. No matter how much money you make, you are not exempt. No matter how many degrees you got, you are not exempt from any storm, because floods will come. Storms will come. And sometimes a storm takes a form of sickness you did not anticipate, or heartbreak, or to see a dream collapse. Sometimes you wake up one day and the world you thought would be there for you wasn't there. The people you thought would be there for you, they weren't there. Floods come, storms come. But when the waters strike your house, the question is, will it shake or will it stand? Will you be able to endure it, or will you collapse under it because you were not built on the solid foundation? Because here it is, if you know who you are in God and you've built your life as a believer, no matter when the storm shows up, you know what to lean on. In other words, you don't determine who you are by the nature of the storm, because who you are is determined by your connection to God. So the storms don't shake you or unravel you, because you're clear about who you are, where you are, and how you stand. Because I'm gonna tell you this, I've seen some flashy houses built on some shaky foundations that don't survive. And I got to help somebody understand today that no matter what it may be, no matter how it may show up, you have to get to a point in your life where you understand your primary call is to live in such a way that your belief in God is not circumstantial. It's not based because things are good. It is based because you know who you are, connected to God, and what God has invested in your spirit, so that no matter what shows up at your doorstep, the unexpected crisis, the unexpected pain, the thing you weren't looking for, your faith doesn't wilt under that pressure. You don't begin to doubt God. I've heard people say, Pastor, my faith is waning. Why? Because you're going through something. You thought that trusting in God was some force field that meant you would never be impacted by the inconsistencies of life. Don't ever come to God looking for a lucky rabbit's foot faith or a good charm faith. I'm trusting God, so therefore nothing should happen bad my way. No, you trust God so that when the bad shows up, you can handle it, that you're strong enough to take it, and you lean into the future knowing that you will come through it. So I came to help somebody, remind somebody today who've been wondering whether or not the work you put in, the quiet digging you did, the building of faith, whether it mattered, whether those times where you were investing in you and trying to get closer to God and trying to shift your life and honor God, did it matter? Yeah. And can I tell you something else? The therapy mattered when you do it. The prayer mattered when you did it. Your tears mattered. Your discipline mattered. The boundaries you established so people didn't cross them, they mattered too. The healing you experienced, all that mattered. Every time you had to dig when nobody was looking, that mattered. When you had to show up when nobody cared, that mattered too. And what do you got to do? Keep on digging. Because while others are busy entertaining, you're building a life. While people are busy trying to be seen and recognized, you're building a life to last. And remember this, that when those storms show up, they are not punishment. Storms are often revelation. They show. You don't know how strong that house is and how strong the foundation is until the storm shows up. That means the storm does not just destroy, it reveals how strong you really are. It shows. And you got to get to a point in your journey that when your personal storm shows up in your life, that people cannot tell that the storm even showed up, because you never shifted your disposition. You never changed your attitude. You did not question who God was, because you understood that this would come, but you understood this too shall what? It shall pass. And so you don't have to measure your life by the bad things or just the good things. You measure your life by the way you showed up every single time, no matter what happened, because you made sure you built it on strong foundation. Because there'll be people like the other person who will build on shaky foundations. People who heard the teaching but did not act. People who heard the word but were not moved. People who came and tried to do everything quickly and conveniently and visibly, they built without foundation, so that when the flood hit those who were not built on a strong foundation, they collapsed. And I know this may be hard to hear for some folk who you're trying to figure out, do I got a strong foundation or not? Remember this, what you're going to build for God takes time, especially when you're building yourself. Can I tell you, when you're doing this deep dig work, speed is overrated. Convenience is dangerous. Invisibility without depth is risky. And so you got to get to a point when you rise above all of that. And you say, God, thank you for rooting me in something. Thank you for keeping me rooted in your word and rooted in my faith. Thank you for keeping me in that space. Because there's still people in here today and people we know who've gone through enough hell to know how to stand when the storm shows up. You've been through enough stuff in your life that when you see that next storm coming, when you can do like I did, when you can look up and see the dark clouds hovering, you don't begin to panic. You start preparing because you've seen this before. You know what will happen. Because it is possible, as we always say, it's possible what? When that storm comes, to bend without breaking and to cry without collapsing. It is possible to hurt and still not give up and to lose sometimes some things without losing yourself. So if you're here today and you're in that season where life has been pressing you and has gotten hard, can I add this? You've been doing the work. No, you've been doing the work. Don't negate that. You've been doing the work, but it doesn't seem like it is coming through. You got to trust in the digging you've already done and the foundation you've already laid. Because if you've dug deep in faith and in wisdom and in courage, then you can answer the storm with your strength. In fact, you get to a point when you're on this journey, and I've learned this, even though I started by saying I had some weary times and some difficult month, but I never said, God, hold it back or hold it off or keep it away. You got to get to a point in your faith when you say, if this is what I have to go through in this season, let the rain come. Let the wind blow, let the storm rise, because what God has built in me, nothing can wash it away, because these roots run deep. So keep digging deep. Keep planting those seeds. Keep trusting in God. Keep honoring what God is doing in your life. Because this is a season where when you do this deep soul work, it's not for the crowds. People may not even pay attention, but you got to trust the work you've put in, knowing that that work has been preparing you for the storms that come. So you keep on digging and keep on pressing and keep on probing and keep on believing. Because I'm going to tell you, the test of your foundation is when that storm rises. And when that storm rises, it will reveal who and what you really are. And I want to make sure that when it rises, that you are just as strong when you are in it as when you are out of it. Unwavering faith. Resilient strength. Amen. Do me a favor, stand on your feet today. I want to pray and I want to open up opportunity to come for prayer. Because maybe you're here today and this word spoke to you because you're in that digging season. You're investing in you. You're trying to build you and prepare you. And sometimes when you do that work, it will not really bring a lot of attention, but you got to be committed. I said it already. We're in a moment where everybody tries to live out loud, but boy, be careful of those empty wagons that make a lot of noise. Maybe you're in that season where God is calling you to do some hard work with you and on you. If you're in that season where you can feel that this is a time where God wants me to work on me, that this season I'm in right now is a time where God wants me
to dig a little deeper so I can grow a little wiser and stronger. If that's you and that's the season you're in right now, I want you to come up here so we can pray together so you don't feel like you're isolated in this digging season where God is preparing and equipping you. Because you got to know that you're not by yourself. That you are not by yourself. And can I tell you this? I already alluded to it. You don't know when and how the storms will show up in your life. But that doesn't matter. What really matters is the foundation you've been laying, the digging you've been doing on your soul and on your spirit to prepare yourself for what might come. And I'm going to tell you, nobody wants a storm. You don't go outside saying, God, send me my heartache. Send me the things that cause me to struggle. No. What I've learned is say, God, thank you for preparing me for this season right now. Thank you for equipping me. Because yes, we'll definitely bend, but God has equipped you in such a way that bending and breaking are two different things. Because I've been digging and laying that foundation. So even as I pray today, I want you to just think about those moments prior to this season where you've seen God move and you can actually rely on it. And again, you're in that preparing season, getting ready. But what encourages you while you're preparing is this, that you've seen how God has moved through you before. You've seen how things came together. And I know what it feels like when you're in that crisis space and you wonder, God, how is this going to get better? How are we going to come out of this? How will this be resolved? And all of a sudden, piece by piece, sometimes even incrementally, God shows you that this is the time to trust me, to trust. And how do you show trust in God? God, I'm going to keep on digging. I'm going to keep on working on me. I'm going to keep on pouring into me. And here's a real powerful thing. If no one else pours into me, I'm going to pour into me. Because like we learned a long time ago, sometimes you got to do what? Encourage yourself. Come on, let's go to God. God, we thank you today. We honor you today, oh God, for how you've been in this space. And not this space, but the space of our hearts and our lives. God, sometimes it's so easy to get lost in trying to be impressive and still spend so much time trying to be impressive. And people don't know that we're dying inside, struggling inside. So God, thank you for that reminder today, oh God, that the best work we can do on ourselves is often invisible to most people. People don't see those late nights where you are not just sometimes weary and tearful, but where you're working on you. Those days where you start speaking life into yourself and no one else around. And those days when you encourage yourself with no fanfare. God, thank you for giving me a mind to work on me. Thank you for giving me a mind that's not afraid of the work necessary to dig. So God, we thank you. We honor you, oh God. God, we also have to thank you for your word, for your presence, for that word has been a foundation in our lives. And God, sometimes we go looking for what will cement us in the midst of storm. It's your word and your reminder. Your word comes in so many ways, but your reminder, God, is that you will never leave nor forsake us. And that we can continue to put our trust in you. And in those moments, lean on how you've shaped us. Lean on how you've taught us. Lean on how you've grown us. So thank you for that too, oh God. God, just continue to have your way. And we will do our part and keep on digging, laying a foundation of faith and building on that every day. We love you, Lord. We honor you, God. And it's in your name we pray. We say amen. 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 Do me a favor. Get somebody to hug and touch your love them today.